Paul Tonko, let's start with drones this time. We don't want to put our young people in harm's way. And so one of the things that has obviously come back are these surgical strikes with drones, which are seen by some people as being heartless and whatever else, and the civilian casualties and whatever. So where are you coming down?
Well, you know, I can understand some of the logic. And certainly if you put this into the context of a given presidency, there may be a way to absolve some of your fears. But this is policy that can grow past the current administration. And I think that some of the essence, some of the strength of our system is checks and balances, and making certain that there is a check and a balance on an approach like this. There's always concern that, some of the relinquishing of power, of checks and balances that Congress has and should maintain, are oftentimes freed up, loosened up, because of a number of threatening situations to our security, terrorist issues out there since 9/11. I think we have to be careful with that.
Let me go to a different place and ask you about Medicare and Social Security.
Sure.
The Republicans pretty well gave up on reforming Social Security. I mean, when I talk to some of the people on this show, on the Congressional Corner, Republicans, one of whom lost, there was a tremendous appetite for, you know, giving the insurance companies a stake in Social Security. We don't hear much about that anymore. Do you think that fight is over?
No, I think it lies dormant. I think that this group, I just think they're after any sort of program that was given birth to during the FDR years or the LBJ years. And it really bothers me that what is a stable for many, which is a comfort zone, which is a foundation, and they built in for political sake, ownership in the program is oftentimes challenged. And I think that it's there on many people's radar. And it would be terrible because the trust fund itself is freestanding and mm-hmm. doesn't impact the budget. But that doesn't stop them from wanting to undo.
Just because it was a Great Society or a New Deal program?
I think so. You know, and certainly the Medicare thing is still under attack.
Oh,
and
sure.
When you look at that, you know, they just keep reaching to Medicare as the solution. When in fact, we should look at cost containment within the healthcare arena. Medicare is just a piece of it. If you denounce or remove or whatever, diminish the Medicare responsibility of government, that's only one piece of healthcare. You need to look at the overall issue. And, you know, just about every nation out there that's industrialized Sure. or a world leader has taken care of that. We had a lot of talk about single payer, which could have really dug deep into the cost issue. And we'll see where we go with things. But there are programs set up that, you know, reward or pay for healthcare, not by procedure, but by performance, just how good the results may be. And that, I think, will begin that whole cost-cutting curve.
If you had your chance to vote for single payer now, if it came on the horizon, would you?
Well, I supported it during the discussions on the Affordable Care Act and certainly would see it as a benefit. You know, it when 30 or 35% of our healthcare dollars are spent on paper shuffling, what is that getting us in terms of quality care, access, affordability? You know, I think there are better ways. And the Medicare situation, for one, is pretty much a guidance of guided by single payer effort. And, you know, they've held down costs. It may not be perfect, but we see a lot of people who, you know, when you think back of quality of life of seniors, of retirees back in 60, 62, 63, when they retired, their expectations, and rightfully so, were that their economic well-being was going to dip south because they would expect that they're going to require health care in their 60s into 70s and what and beyond. And cherry picking by the industry, unaffordable rates, if you could get coverage, were all the compelling reasons to do Medicare. And so now we're almost full circle to that beginning point again, when Representative Ryan will reintroduce the efforts to voucher a system that renders you digging deeper as a senior into your pocket because the voucher is only worth 30 cents on the dollar. And they're saying, well, we'll give it to the private sector market and they'll compete. Well, private sector requires a profit column. And we've seen what some of the profit columns look like, you know, with golden parachutes and really, you know, growth in the administrative end versus the salary adjustment for the main worker population of these industries.
Now let's talk about something simple, guns.
Yeah, very simple.
Where do you see all of the president's passion on this issue, and as well as others, bringing us? Do you think there's an ability to compromise on something intelligent that will, you know, sort of stop the scourge?
I think so. I think the times are definitely different than, you know, the recent past decade or two, where people will cite that there was an effort, there was a spike to get it done, and it didn't happen. I think the dynamics here are tremendously different, especially post-Newtown, Connecticut. When you have 20 babies slaughtered, when you had killing by assault-type weapons or magazine clips that enabled children not only to be shot and killed, but to be bludgeoned with bullets, the country's attitude, their opinions have been adjusted severely. They've been impacted by the emotion of it and the sheer carnage of it. Where I hope we can compromise where I hope we can cover some of the issues is certainly with the background checks. There is no reason to allow 40% of the sales out there, if not more, to be done without background checks via private sales or gun shows. I think it's incredible. And the stats on that one, Alan, are very powerful. Since 1999, 1.7 million sales were denied because people couldn't pass that. And that's only with the 60% of the activity out there being ruled by background checks. In 2009, as one standalone year, 150,000 denials. So, you know, prohibited purchasers, that's a great bit of progress that could be struck if you captured the other 40%. I know the president is moving under an administrative order to allow for studies again to be done by the Center for Disease Control, to be done on gun violence, on gun safety and gun violence, which I think will instruct us, and it's a very valuable tool. But you look at the power that this lobby has had, and it's incredible that they would, through certain amendments to appropriation bills, not allow the correct data to be held with beyond 24 hours. We've really tied the hands of the judicial system when it comes to prosecuting the illegal use of guns. And the ATF, the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Agency, needs to be empowered with a strong enough budget and with the opportunity to hold on to some of the data longer than they do today. The final two elements that are very strong out there are the ban on assault weapons, which some claim doesn't have the support. But I think we should keep that in the negotiating cycle, along with the magazine clips. You know, law-abiding, responsible gun owners that I talk to, and I'm not going to suggest this is 100% of a response, but many, many people say, look, you know, I don't need the magazine clip. I don't need that kind of power. I don't need to have an assault weapon. I think there are a number of issues out there, but let's at least move with the background checks. And there are a number of categories that would deny people gun ownership. And of course, the package will, I'm convinced, include mental health services brought up to the amounts that we need. The states across this country cut them between $3 and $4 billion last year on mental health services. And you'll talk to schools and they'll tell you, we need these services for our children.
Paul Tonko, always a pleasure to have you here. Good luck on all you're doing. I wish I could give you a harder time, but I find myself agreeing with every word you say. So,
thank you, Dr. Chartek.
Sometimes I just do it for the hell of it.
I appreciate that. And let me congratulate you and the station for a wonderful, wonderful outreach and your fundraising drives. One morning when I came by the studio to do the show and saw this immense crowd on a wacky weather morning, speaks volumes for the love for this station and the respect that in which you're held and all of your colleagues.
Thank you, Paul Tunko.